we're getting through this list. Not taking that long, is it? Love is not easily angered, nor does it keep a record of wrongs. Love is not easily angered. Are you quickly provoked? Easily exasperated? Ready to take offense? Touchy? If so, you need to grow in love. Now, there are a number of angry people mentioned in the Bible. And one of these is the Old Testament prophet Jonah. And even though he was experiencing anger, he still took time to contrast this with the character of God. When he said in chapter 4 of his book in verse 2, God is slow to anger and abounding in love. Slow to anger. Love is not easily angered. But see the link there, even in that verse. Slow to anger, not easily angered, and abounding in love. The link with love, with not being easily angered. Neither does love keep a record of wrongs, a mental list of offenses done to us. You see, when we hold long-term grudges or resentment towards others, it shows an unforgiving spirit, which not only wears us down, but can rekindle anger towards another person at the slightest provocation. Now, those of you who are married, you know what it's like if your husband or your wife upsets you in some way. I'm not talking from experience, of course. I'm merely observing. Upset you in some way, and before you know it, you're reminding them of the time when they offended you, when they did X, when they did Y, when they did Z. You've kept a record of wrongs. And you're using it as a weapon against them. That's not being loving, because love keeps no record of wrongs. Furthermore, love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. I think one of the saddest experiences I've had in my relationship with some Christians is how ready they've been to find satisfaction in reporting that someone known to us has apparently messed up in some way. They're not in possession of all the facts, but they instinctively presume the worst instead of thinking the best of that person. Now, an Old Testament example of this is Eli and Hannah. Hannah was a heartbroken woman praying in the temple, and Eli the priest saw her mouth moving, but no words coming out, and he presumed that she was drunk. Only later did he appreciate that she was someone in distress. Have you ever jumped to a conclusion and got it wrong? Have you then passed on your erroneous conclusion to others in the form of gossip? That's not being loving, because love does not delight in evil or in evil reports about others. Instead, love rejoices with the truth. Sometimes a situation is actually better than it looks, and love rejoices with that reality. Let's be glad with the truth, even when it hurts. Being truthful to each other strengthens our relationships, particularly when we follow the directive in Ephesians 4:15 to speak the truth to others in a loving manner. Let's not divorce love from truth. And then at the end of this list, this description of what love looks like, we have that love is consistent in that it always protects, trusts, hopes, and perseveres. Love always protects. Love protects the reputation of another by not drawing public attention to that person's feelings. 1 Peter 4:8 says it well when we read that love covers a multitude of sins. Love always trusts. Love believes the best about people and doesn't give in to a suspicious mindset. Love always hopes. This is a good one. Because love is optimistic about positive, redemptive change in another person's life. Because failure in that person's life doesn't have to be final. So love hopes, always hopes, for change. And love always perseveres. Love doesn't give up. I don't know about you, but I have a long way to go before my attitudes and actions line up with this description of love. When I first became a Christian in my mid-teens, someone said to me that I should replace the word love in these verses with my own name. So this amended version of the Bible then read like this. Florence is patient. Florence is kind. Florence does not envy. Well, you know, I think I was more discouraged when I came to the end of this exercise than I was at the very beginning. But when I inserted Jesus' name instead of my own, then this became much more realistic. Jesus fits this description of love because as God, he is love. 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 and 16 tell us God is love and Jesus is God. So this description fits him. But with his Spirit living in us, and he lives in every one of his followers, then we are fully equipped to love in this way. So how can we make this real in our own lives? We've looked at the necessity of love, the nature of love. Now let's look at the now what of love, or what do I do now?